Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Good evening, God-fearing, liberty-loving, ultra-mega patriots. Welcome to Radio Free Redoubt, the weekly podcast. This is episode 23-27. And correction, last week I said 23-25. That was actually the 26th episode of 2023. This is episode 27, 23-27. And it's September already. Unbelievable. So tonight I want to go over an article written by Brandon Smith from Alt Market. Over the years, I think I've been following him, well, since he started, 11 years ago? About the same time Radio Free Redoubt started. And really sharp, analytical mind. He's been a writer in the Patriot community. Well, for that, at least a decade, about 11 years, 12 years, he's involved in, you know, investments and things as such, but he also is, you know, a patriot through and through. He is talking about the need to bring back the militias, and I absolutely agree. And so I'm going to get into that. Because I think it's what his whole approach here, and this is the first in a series of writings that he's producing. We all have identified problems. We see the problems, but what about the solutions? So what he's trying to do is address solutions that the Patriot community needs to be looking at. So his first one is bringing back the militias. Where'd they go? Well, pretty much dispersed right now, and there's really not a whole lot going on, but they're necessary. The Constitution says they're necessary for the security of a free state. So if on that premise that they are necessary, if they aren't there, then a necessary component to our freedom, to maintaining the security of a free state, are missing. So it's a vacuum that needs to be filled. Again, so I'm going to talk about that, and I have some thoughts that I'd like to add to that as well, and that'll be in segment two. But first, let's get into the news and commentary brought to you by Prepping 2.0, the podcast to help take your preps to the next level. And of course, these are very dangerous times. We should be self-reliant. Food shortages and more. So learn how to do that. All right. First off here from Bloomberg, Russia has placed its Sarmat intercontinental ballistic missile on combat alert, bringing into commission a weapon capable of carrying nuclear warheads that President Vladimir Putin earlier said would guarantee the nation's security. See, deterrence, a strong deterrence is the best way to keep security. Well, they get it. Well, thanks, Joe Biden, once again, for bringing us that much closer to war, which is what they're doing. But anyway, let's move on. Zero Hedge. Interesting. Hundreds of ultra-low emission zone ULEZ or ULEZ cameras have been vandalized by a vigilante group, and this is over in England. This vigilante group that opposes the controversial scheme, which extended across wider London this week and charges road users for traveling in non-compliant vehicles. So it should be a, not a vigilante group, but a counter 1984 group. The scheme's part of London Mayor Sadiq Khan's Green Agenda, that's a Muslim, by the way, to enhance the air quality across the UK capital. However, many critics of its extension into London suburbs consider it to be a regressive tax and cash grab that will hit working families the hardest. Well, that's what they do. A vigilante group known as the Blade Runners has been targeting newly installed cameras across the capital in a bid to disrupt implementation of ULEZ as much as possible, and hundreds of cameras have already been hit. Matter of fact, on Tuesday, around 500 cameras had been marked as out of action or damaged, according to the map that this Blade Runners group promoted. And here, what could go wrong? Category of the news from defense.gov. The DoD will deploy artificial intelligence-enabled detection system to monitor the DC airspace. What could go wrong? Well, hopefully everything. New York City mayor and the New York PD police chief and faith leaders, I'm not sure. I'm just curious how many Christians were among the group of faith leaders, but they've announced the start of a new NYPD initiative to support and facilitate amplified sound for the Muslim call to prayer on Fridays and during sunset prayers during Ramadan. Nearly 22 years after 9/11, and chanting Allahu Akbar will now sound loud in the city. And this contributor, one of our listeners, writes, I wonder if in the streets of Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, we will ever hear the sound of church bells. Well, I think we all know the answer to that. But Mayor Eric Adams says this is a part of an effort to foster inclusivity. And, of course, they do the same thing, you know, over in, why is the police department involved with facilitating this? But anyway, they launched these guidelines in conjunction with the New York Police Department to make it easier for mosques to broadcast on Fridays, a traditional Muslim holy day, and at sunset during Ramadan. Quote, we want our brothers and sisters of Muslim faith to know that they are free to live their faith in New York City, because under the law, we will all be treated equally. Really? Is this the same New York that brought charges against Trump? Is this the same New York that is refusing to enforce murder, rape, robbery, other crime laws? I'm just wondering. But they want to do this in New York because under the law, we will all be treated equally. Well, let me tell you something about Islam. They will try to use your own laws to get their foot in the door, to make you accept them until they increase to adequate numbers to then implement Sharia law. That will be the next phase. And once they implement Sharia law, I guarantee you not everybody's treated equally under Sharia law. But that's where they're going next, because that's the pattern, that is the history that we have to learn from. Oh, there it is. In Minneapolis, a city with a large Muslim population, announced last year they would allow mosques to broadcast the Adhan, that's your evening prayers, and Friday morning prayers. And they quote, as someone who grew up in Egypt and hearing the call of prayer my entire life, I truly missed its beauty and peaceful reminder to take a moment and appreciate what you have, said Imam Abdullah Salem, who heads the Muslim Community Center of Brooklyn, saying, I am so grateful to be able to hear it again here in my own city. So now New York belongs to a Muslim. But if you grew up in Egypt and you heard it and it was beautiful, go back to Egypt. They're still playing it there. This is America. From the Why Am I Not Surprised portion of the news, this is from Becker News, this prosecutor deciding Trump's fate in 2024 election comes from a family of Marxist revolutionaries. Yeah, not kidding. From the Euro, ESEuro.com, this is the relentless prosecutor, daughter of a Black Panther willing to defeat the tycoon. Fannie Willis, born in 71 in California, her father was a criminal lawyer who was active in the Black Panther Party of Self-Defense, better known as Black Panthers. This Marxist-Leninist party, defender of communism and the rights of blacks in the United States, did not stop accumulating controversy due to its radical left postulates and the violence of some of its militants. Using the excuse of self-defense, they organized surveillance patrols made up of armed militants. Wonderful. And now their offspring is pursuing the only true Patriots presidential candidate. And, oh, another good one here from MSN.com. Wisconsin Supreme Court Chief Justice accuses liberal majority of staging a coup. That's going to be interesting to follow. And posted over on Twitter, a Democrat county supervisor in Hines, Mississippi. A Democrat county supervisor, okay, this is county commissioner, is challenging his party's primary election results after discovering massive election fraud. What? I thought election fraud didn't exist now. Quote, "We have videotapes of someone going into boxes, bringing in thumb drives, bringing in ballots to be inserted into the machines," close quote. The person he's talking about is the Hines County Democrat Party chair. Yeah. So, but I thought there wasn't voter fraud. I'm getting mixed messages here. Or any of us surprised about that one? And if you guys haven't seen this article, I was going to dive into this tonight, but I'm going to sit on it. You can get a little sneak peek, head start, in case more craziness comes up over the following week and I don't get a chance to return to this article. But from exposenews.com, that's expose-news.com. It was just posted this week. The Kissinger Report and the U.S. government policy to depopulate the planet. And this is just more affirmation of what we already know about these globalist, Marxist, neo-Marxist scum. But yeah, that's over at expose-news.com if you want to check that out ahead of time. All right, we'll take a break and come back. Segment two, this alt market article titled "Solutions Are Scary, Part One." It's time to bring back citizen militias. And there's some key parts of this article that I want to cover with you and then share some of my thoughts when we come back. Stay right there. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. From a lawyer and government insider's perspective, he lays out a plausible scenario that could very well come about if we continue on the path we're on as a country. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and 6-hour pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
Welcome back, Patriots. Segment 2 of Radio Free Redoubt, episode 23-27. And in segment 2 here, as I mentioned, I want to cover this article. I haven't followed Brandon Smith's work in a while, just because there's just so much noise out there, and come back to it periodically, or somebody will send me an article, but I don't subscribe, so it doesn't stay in front of me. But his stuff is always good, and this is particularly, I think, poignant. It is timely and worth taking a look at. And I have some of my own thoughts, too, that I want to add to this, at the end. Solutions Are Scary, Part 1. He's going through this series of solutions to some of the problems. Now, ultimately, I'm a Christian, unabashedly, unapologetically, and I believe that the only true solution, the only true lasting permanent solution, is for our nation to repent and turn back to the source and foundation of its greatness and exceptionalism, and that's Christ. Turning back to God. But also, that's the spiritual component of it, which would manifest itself in, actions that would be solutions. But action is required. God's always required action, almost always. Sometimes your only action is to dress up, get your armor on, stand on the hill and watch me work, right? But you still have to suit up. You still got to march out there across the desert, stand on the hill and watch God do his handiwork. Sometimes you have to, God will give you the victory and the battle belongs to him, but you have to go out there and get bloody and swing your sword. So even though we turn to him, trust him, and ultimately that's the ultimate solution to restoring our country and pushing back tyranny, action is required at some point. So these are those actionable items that's being identified. I'm not sure where Brandon Smith stands as far as his faith goes. I know he leans more toward libertarian. I lean more toward conservative on the political spectrum, if you will. But I want to start off by visiting the Second Amendment of our Constitution. It says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Shall not. It's not up for debate. It's necessary. And it's not just having a .38 special in your pocket to avoid getting carjacked. This is for the security of a free state, the militia. And well-regulated does not mean tons and stacks of rules and regulations. The founding fathers were very clear in their writings and their discussions and speeches. Well-regulated means train regularly and be proficient well-regulated. Okay, so let's get into the article. I'm going to jump ahead. I'm hoping you will read the full article over at Alt Market. That's Alt-Market. But do a quick internet search, Alt Market, Brandon Smith. Boom, it'll pop right up there. So he says, let me move down here. What happens when you finally have the numbers to do something? I would partially agree that conservatives, libertarians, independents, and moderates that make up what I call the liberty movement tend to talk a lot more about the problems to the point that solutions become lost in the fervor of discussion. And I agree with that. After nearly 20 years writing for the movement, I've noticed a consistent pattern. When I publish an article identifying a concerted attack on the U.S. economy, for example, the audience numbers run high. When I write an article about methods for preventing collapse, such as independent barter markets and localized production, the traffic is cut in half. The truth is, the real solutions are not sexy. They're scary. People can become addicted to watching the system break down, and I realize it's hard to look away from a train wreck. But when it comes time to do something about the mess and make some hard decisions, a lot of people run away. This has to change. It is with this issue in mind that I'm launching a series of articles focusing only on solutions. These are not silver bullet solutions. They will not save people from struggle or hardship. They will not end the globalist empire with a single calculated social shift or technological innovation. Such solutions do not exist, and anyone who claims otherwise is either ignorant or a fraud trying to lure you into complacency. The real solutions require hard work, sacrifice, courage, tenacity, and above all, risk. If a solution to tyranny and collapse doesn't scare you at least a little, then it's probably not a legitimate solution. And if there is one solution that has been demonized more than any other in our modern era, it's the citizen militia. It's hard to think of a greater taboo, a more sneered at and disdained concept than the militia. And that's on both sides of the political aisle. Many leftists hate the militias because they fear it. Many Republicans hate the militias because they think it makes them look extreme. Sorry, Sunshine Patriots, but if there was ever a time for extreme measures, it's now. Maybe it's a matter of public conditioning. Militias are the villains in every movie, TV show, book, comic book. Articles in every major publication warn year after year of militias as the dark underbelly of American culture, a mode of organization for racists and fascists, and most of all, terrorists. They are the bad guys, right? Who wants to be seen as a bad guy? So, conservatives and libertarians stumble around trying to come up with ways to organize a physical defense against the encroachment of authoritarianism without actually calling these efforts a militia. It's understandable. The M word has a stigma that was carefully crafted by the media over the course of decades. Well, there's a reason why civilian militias were one of the first constitutional protections dismantled and rearranged by our government. Sadly, starting with giving the president the ability to call on state militias as a means of suppressing domestic rebellion through the 1800s, then slowly erasing militias altogether and replacing them with the modern National Guard through the Dick Act of 1903. The National Guard is now nothing more than another branch of standing military, not a true militia, which I would add, many of the founding fathers warned us against. They called it a bane of liberty, a standing military as a threat to a free republic. I'll continue on. An armed and mostly importantly trained civilian population operating outside of federal oversight is a threat that no oligarchy would ever voluntarily allow. It is the ultimate wrecking ball against government corruption. This is why the Second Amendment has already, to some extent, been neutered. It has lost one of two vital parts. Gun rights are still present, but citizen organization is gone. Without both elements, the country will never be truly secure and free. The reason the modern establishment media has been so hostile to the militia concept is because they fear patriot organization more than anything else. They want people isolated from each other, focused only on their own preparedness efforts, but constantly vulnerable due to their limited ability to project defense or offense. If you are alone, your circle of security is your house and your front door. You're doomed. If you are part of a militia, your circle of security is your town or your county or perhaps even your entire state. you now have a chance to survive and stay free. And I would also add here, this is precisely what happened with January 6th. That scared the daylights out of the left because they had a 1.2 million man, fortunately for the left, unarmed army on their front doorstep when they stole the election and then certified it, completing the coup. So when they saw that the closest the American patriots in a long time have come together in an organized fashion, scared them to death. So that's why such heavy-handed response with the detention, arrest, even mistreatment, torture, deprivation of rights against January 6th, and the extreme sentences, like we just saw this last week, 17 years for moving a temporary fence out of the way and walking around in the Capitol. So that's the entire reason. It is intended to be a scare tactic to scare the rest of the patriots into compliance. So I'll continue. There will be people who argue that a militia solution is impossible because in order for such groups to be constitutionally legal, they must be approved by the state government they reside in and operate at the whim of the White House. This is only if we were pursuing a quote-unquote constitutional militia. I think that ship has sailed a long time ago, Brandon writes. Militias need to exist whether they are approved of or not. Cooperation at the state or county level should be pursued, but this is dependent on the honor of that particular local government. If they are not cooperative and are not honorable, then citizens will have to organize anyway, period. I absolutely agree with this. And I applaud those militias who are well-regulated. They train regularly, and they have cultivated very positive working relationships with their sheriffs in their counties. That is a good thing. Not everybody has that blessing. They're not blessed that way. But where they are, we've seen some really great relationships forged. If any liberty-minded governors are reading this now, I would suggest that they seriously consider stepping up efforts to bring back the militia system in their state. These groups are going to form eventually anyway. Adding some legitimacy through the state would diffuse a lot of conflicts in the future. And I'll tell you this, if you truly believe in freedom and the American ideal, there will come a time when you will have to lean on the common citizenry to maintain the security of your state. Not just from corrupt adversaries in the federal government, federal level, but from foreign invasion or illegal immigration, as well as rioting and looting by leftist groups within your own cities. Don't wait until it's too late. If a state government is not willing to back legally recognized militias, then it may be possible to organize at the county level. I would even say that the first county government to do this will start a firestorm and hundreds of other counties will be following their example. All it takes is one to step forward. The same goes for state militias. What would be the purpose of these militias? Well, to act as a deterrent to forces with ill intent, first and foremost. Absolutely. A well-regulated militia is a well-regulated defense. The ability to project defensive and offensive force is a huge deterrent. I mean, just look what happens to these cities when they defund their police departments or remove their police or downsize them. The deterrent is gone and crime goes up. If we do, then We cannot allow the federal government and establishment elites to hold a monopoly on the ability to project power. If we do, then the country will be enslaved. And though I have faith in the power of asymmetric tactics, the 50 million plus gun owners now active in the U.S. could be far more effective if they were working together to utilize those tactics. they would certainly offer a much more imposing obstacle to the elites. Deterrence is the best possible defense. When that fails, better to have friends than to be alone. Secondly, there is ample defense training going on all over America, and there are millions of serious shooters here. Dare I say, there are more serious shooters here than in all the other countries combined. And by serious shooters, I mean skilled and dangerous shooters that can do extensive damage to an enemy. However, there's virtually no large unit training going on right now. Everything is aimed at personal defense and sometimes small unit tactics. Militias would be useful in teaching Americans how to fight as a larger force if necessary. Of course, that would be paramilitary training, and that would be bad. But who cares? The optics are becoming less and less important as the system degrades and crisis rises. The old disinformation arguments will surely surface in response to the militia idea. They will say that a militia wouldn't stand a chance against a tyrannical government backed by a modern military, and that your AR-15 is useless against an F-16. Well, the Taliban in Afghanistan has something to say about that delusion, just as guerrilla groups have had something to say about it for generations. There's not a military on the planet that can take on 50 million plus gun owners. They would run out of ordnance long before the Patriots ran out of people. But beyond that, we have to ask the question yet again. Why are they so intent on removing Second Amendment rights and stopping the return of militias if these things are not a threat to their power? Well, the reason's clear. Because if the establishment starts that fight, they know that there's a chance they could lose. If they are afraid of unorganized and isolated patriots now, imagine how afraid the technocrats would be if we reestablished militias. And I believe it was Thomas Jefferson that said, tyranny is when the people fear their government, and freedom is when the government fears the people. So that's all I'm going to read from the article. Once again, I want to encourage you to go to Alt Market and read that for yourself, the whole article. But I have a few thoughts here that I wanted to share on leadership and security related to this topic. I've often said one of the problems that we have and why the coup was successful is that we don't have leadership. The patriots who would be willing to protect and defend the Republic are lacking leadership. And I don't mean Joe, the copy machine repairman who sees himself as a general and is willing to step up and lead. I'm talking about people that are already leaders who lack the willingness to fulfill those roles in the patriot community. Right after January 6th and the during that period of the stolen election, there were dozens of retired admirals and generals, colonels, you know, field grade officers doing interviews and talking about this atrocity. This is a coup. This is clearly a coup. As a military officer, this is a coup. I'm telling you, the people need to rise up and we need to stand against this. Well, after January 6th, they all just went quiet. It's quiet. They're hiding, right? Because they're worried about getting General Flynn. So they've gone silent. There's no leadership right now. So here's what the patriots need to do. Train until leadership rises. And leadership will rise at the right time. But you can't wait for the leadership to rise and then all of a sudden you decide, ooh, he needs somebody to lead. Hey, let's get together and let's do some training. And this could be for a military invasion by a foreign country. This could be a foreign invasion by illegal immigrants that form forces to project offensive power inside the United States. We have to defend our own communities because the government's so overwhelmed or incompetent or unwilling that they can't provide that security. It's going to depend on us. The second item here, there's like five points is the weaponization against conservative patriots. And that has a lot of people afraid. But we're afraid of doing things to empower ourselves to make the government, or the leftists, I should say, who have wiggled their way into positions in our government, we're too afraid to position ourselves in a way that makes them afraid. Because we see what happened to the January 6th prisoners. And I'm not talking about taking over the government or, you know, anything like that. I'm just talking about training for an unknown eventuality in the future. Any threat to America, we have to start training. And we have countries that are chomping at the bit to invade us. And the citizenry are not training together because we're afraid of what the leftists have done to patriots recently. I mean, look, even the FBI has recently placed, under this current regime, have placed parents on terror watch lists for speaking their minds at school board meetings. So we have to overcome that aversion and that fear. And then there's the question of agents infiltrating and snitches and informants and all of that stuff. You're always going to have that. The founding fathers were plagued with spies in their ranks, traitors and informants and agents. But there was still a mission to do. All right, so we have to learn some skills that are kind of forgotten by a lot. Security is a big one. We have to learn OPSEC, COMSEC, PERSEC, InfoSEC, practicing safe sex, operational security, communication security, personal information security, information security, OPSEC, COMSEC, PERSEC, InfoSEC, and also, this is critical, compartmentalization. That means, which ties into my next point, transparency. Because people are like, well, we want to be transparent. So we're going to invite the media to come out and the local news station to do a little expose on our training. Well, transparency is stupid. Transparency is stupidity. There's a reason why our military has security, COMSEC, OPSEC, PERSEC, and compartmentalization. So if your next little militia group has got an informant, he doesn't have all of the names of everybody and all the militias in the surrounding area, but you guys can still work together and you keep information compartmented. Anyway, completely different topics that I could dive into and spend a lot of time on, which I don't have time to do tonight. Roles, because typically always get patriots saying, hey, I'm not a young man. I can't run around in the woods with a rifle and dive and jump and dig trenches and go on patrols, but that's okay. There's something for everybody. Even in the military, every warfighter is supported by probably 50 to 100 support personnel, from cooks to personnel to supplies to truck drivers, logistics, medical personnel. There's something for every patriot. Start learning a skill and start thinking about supporting the patriot movement in that way, should we ever need to. And, you know, don't get duped. There's going to be informants. The general rule is 17. When you have if you're involved in a political motivated or controversial group, meetings or rallies or anything like that, out of every 17 people, one of them is an agent or an informant. So if you have a meeting, you have a militia meeting, and there's 17 people there, one of them is probably an informant or an agent, right? But you don't know that. You may be in the group of 17 people that's everybody's real patriots. But that's why you compartmentalize sensitive information. And here's the other thing. It's pretty simple. They're looking, they're sniffing around for illegal activity. Don't get duped. There's just this last week, there's a British doomsday prepper group, two people, a third one is, they're looking for him, arrested in Austria trying to build a dirty bomb. And then they found them built, you know, a whole cache of weapons, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. But a dirty bomb? Really? Come on. You know, most patriots get in trouble with two different ways. They either on their own talk about doing something illegal, or they get talked into doing something illegal. Or an agent who tries to provoke something. And they'll try to get everybody riled up to do something illegal, and then they provide the material support to carry it out. And then, boom, they got you. That's not necessary. You don't have to be building pipe bombs. You don't have to be doing dumb stuff right now, or cutting off the barrels of your shotgun, or trying to convert something to full auto, or anything like that. That is totally unnecessary. Keep it legal. You have absolute right, a constitutional right. It's built into our Constitution, militias are. So there's no reason to do anything illegal. Simply train, be armed, be ready to serve your country, your community, your county. In the meantime, don't get duped into doing something that's going to get you arrested or thrown in jail. It's like this plan to arrest Governor Whitmer. Well, it turns out to be like, I don't know, it was like 3/4 of the militia were all agents, informants, right? So they bust, I think it was 3 guys they ended up arresting for this little scheme that the agents or informants cooked the whole plan up. And there are patriots that are in jail, right? One in particular that I know of, who had two people that he thought were his friends in the militia movement. And one of them, they weren't doing anything illegal, but the agent built some type of explosive device and says, here, check this out, puts it in his hand, boom, you're under arrest. I mean, it was so underhanded and dirty, right? But that's really wanting somebody bad. But most of these people that get arrested, get in trouble with militias doing stuff, is usually provoked by an agent provocateur or trying to do something that's going to get them in trouble. There's so much room to operate without doing anything to get in trouble. Keep it on the level, but we've got to bring the militias back. I agree with Brandon on this. I think that that's something that sadly has dissolved in recent years. And it's because people are afraid. We can't be afraid to be patriots. I mean, solutions come with risks. I'm going to leave you with this. James Madison said, a well-regulated militia composed of the people trained to arms is the best and most natural defense of a free country. And then Tench Cox said, who are the militia? Are they not ourselves? Is it feared then that we shall turn our arms, each man against his own bosom? Congress have no power to disarm the militia. Their swords and every other terrible implement of the soldier are the birthright of an American. The unlimited power of the sword is not in the hands of either the federal or state governments, but where I trust in God, it will ever remain in the hands of the people. We'll be right back. Segment 3 coming up. Stay right there.
In 1943, the following directive was issued from party headquarters to all communists in the United States. It read, when certain obstructionists become too irritating, label them after suitable buildups as fascist or Nazi or anti-Semitic, and use the prestige of anti-fascist and tolerance organizations to discredit them. In the public mind, constantly associate those who oppose us with those names which already have a bad smell. The association will, after enough repetition, become fact in the public mind.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's great redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
Welcome back, Patriots, to segment three. This is the final segment, three segments tonight, here at Radio Free Redoubt Studio A, broadcasting from Patriot Hill territory in the heart of the American Redoubt. We've got Lady Liberty in the studio this evening. Good evening, Lady Liberty.
Well, good evening, everyone out there. It's nice to hear that the overall topic this evening is action items.
Yeah.
You know, and I have to say that as we know that this is the end times, and we know that rapture is seriously got to be just right around the corner.
It's got to be.
Right. Well, you know, there's still the thing that says run the good race. Run it all the way to the end,
yep.
Right? Where that means you act. And like the sermon that we are listening to about how we are called to pray, and
yes,
especially when things are very difficult. Well, it doesn't matter the level of difficulty at all. We're always called to pray, but we are also called to act. You can't, in fact, you're not biblically following sound doctrine if you only pray.
Right.
You are always supposed to pray and then respond with action. And we saw that in all of the cases and different stories and testimonies with David.
Yes.
Where he would always ask God for his input.
Right.
You know, Lord, should I do this? Should I do that? And God was always faithful to answer him. And so here he is, he's praying to God, please deliver me from my enemies. You know, don't let them set a trap for me and, you know, succeed over me. And then God would tell him, you know, what to do next. And then he went out and did it.
Yes.
And so that's the action portion that we're horribly devoid of today. I mean, I'm not quite sure if it tends to be more cowardice or laziness.
Probably a little bit of both,
and probably actually even more cowardice than laziness. Because, well, you know, at this point,
yeah,
where we're watching the January Sixers being treated absolutely illegally. I mean, every single thing that has happened to those people,
yep,
has been an illegal atrocity according to the Constitution.
It's what you'd expect in a banana republic or under some type of oppressive regime. That's what we have, an oppressive regime.
Right. And so instead of everybody understanding, we got the numbers. You know,
yeah,
we got the numbers.
Movie Ants,
right?
You know, the right. Grasshoppers are like, guys, if they ever realize they outnumber us 100-1, we're in trouble.
Yep, exactly.
Yep.
And so it's just unfortunate, you know, because that was also one of the things that Gandhi capitalized on in his lifetime was everything was nonviolent. And he focused on their sheer power in numbers.
I think that's what we're going to see with the second round of COVID. I mean, people are already basically all the memes. Even Trump said, don't comply. And I just saw this meme. It said, whatever happens next, do not comply.
Right.
And that is a sentiment that is really taking off, and this is scaring the locusts, the grasshoppers, the ants are saying, we're not going to comply.
Right.
On the left and the right, people are saying, no, you know, there's the people that love their masks. As soon as they said there's a new variant, they were already throwing their masks on, you know. Yep. It's still grimy from when they took it off, you know, what, a year and a half ago or a year ago. But, you know, there are always going to be those. But, yeah, people are saying we're not going to comply.
Well, and that was the whole thing that, you know, going back to Gandhi, he capitalized on civil disobedience.
Yes.
And it was never violent. It was never violent. In fact, all of his people that showed up to defy the British government, they would take beating after another till the people beating them were so tired their arms wouldn't even lift up the board or the bat that they're hitting people with, right? And there's millions of people lining up to take their beating,
right?
You know, and so they're like, the British were like, this is impossible.
This isn't working.
This is not going to work, you know? And so what did they do? The most successful, aggressive, prolific army in the world, the UK, Britain, England, the nation who the sun never set on the nation,
right?
Because they had conquered so much and well, more or less, I guess you could say commonwealthed it,
yes.
Right? If you could use that as a verb,
right?
Well, they had so many commonwealths that they were just this mega power. And yet it was the sheer unarmed numbers that forced them out.
Okay, but you have, look at the American Revolution and many others where they threw off tyranny using militias and force and arms.
Yep.
And then you have examples, and that's one right there, where they did it peacefully.
Right.
Still ended with the same result. And probably fewer people killed. But in both cases, that happened once the people were no longer afraid.
Afraid, yes,
they
exactly.
They are counting on your fear.
Right.
And that's where they get the compliance. And just like Brandon said in this article, sometimes taking action is a scary thing.
Right. And there's the thing that happens to you when you take the step forward, where you go, I'm not ever going to know what is going to happen until I take the first step.
Right.
And then when you take the first step, you look to your left and to your right, you check out your landscape, you go, now what? Now what's the next step that I take in order to move forward? Right.
Well,
and so it's a step-by-step process, but every single step you take, you get braver and more courageous.
Right.
And then, you know, if you're a Christian and you're understanding the whole premise of you can't lose,
right,
then you become a very indomitable force to whomever you're facing.
Yes. And one that they are absolutely terrified of.
That's right. That's right. And so, you know, I'm just glad to see that this is kind of the time where everybody's like throwing their hands up going, we've seen it all. It's not getting better.
Right.
That what do we have to lose at this point? If we sit back any longer, it's gone for good.
Yeah.
And they know it. And it's so bad. It's so bad that they can't, it's even overriding their fear and their complacency at this point. So, so it's nice to see that starting to turn a little bit, you know,
it is.
And there's
took a while.
Right. I mean, we're even seeing judges starting to be a little bit braver and step out against the established globalists, you know.
Yep.
They're finally starting to act like Americans again. And like the federal judge that we just saw overturn the lawsuit against Trump, where they were going to try to keep him off the ballot according to the 14th Amendment.
That's right.
And so it was the attorney general that had actually filed that lawsuit, and the federal judge just basically smacked it down and dismissed it.
Right.
And so, you know, hooray for that judge.
That's right.
And thank goodness, because we have to have one working branch. You know what I mean?
No kidding.
Good grief.
At least partially working.
All three of them have been so badly overtaken by these communists through all these fraudulent elections. And so it's nice to see that even some of the judges are finally starting to find some guts. And another interesting thing that is happening that is not necessarily good for the enemy is here recently, insurance companies have started to flee the UN Climate Club as an antitrust investigation over ESG ramps up.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so it's very interesting because we've been watching the globalists, the communist coup in America, start trying to force this fascist arm.
That's right.
You know, where they're recruiting armies of corporations.
Yep.
Right? Where they're saying, you know, you either do this thing, or, you know, you either get, here's a classic example, you either get rid of this weapon or we won't insure you.
Right.
Or you get rid of that weapon or we won't treat you medically. Right.
That's right.
You know, so that's kind of like the fascist arm of the definition of fascism itself. And so it's great to see that all of a sudden the environmental, social, and corporate governance is starting to leave this whole leading by the UN. And if it takes an antitrust investigation to have that done, well, then so be it. Because what's the interesting part here is this big agenda has been pushed by investment firms like BlackRock.
Right.
You know, the ones who are in charge, who own the power company in Hawaii, right?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And so it's nice to see different factions that, you know, BlackRock has control over and huge influence over starting to crumble, because, you know, you can think you own everything and control everything because you own everything.
Yes.
But then slowly, I think it's going to start just crumbling, just like we're seeing here with the people rising up.
Yes.
You know, there's only so much the world is willing to take before it turns around and does the exact counter move, the total smackdown, and communism, fascism are crushed.
Well, we're seeing that with Disney, with Netflix, with Target, with all these companies who are tanking. I mean, they're losing billions. You know, Anheuser-Busch, all these different companies are losing billions because the people are voting with their pocketbook.
Yes, that's
right.
I mean,
there's your true, that's what's going to determine. Either that, or you're just going to have to be willing to run your business into the ground and go out of business.
Right, exactly.
And maybe people like BlackRock and Vanguard don't care because it's more about the agenda, and they're worth trillions.
Right.
But it's going to cost them dearly.
Well, exactly. And so, you know, that's the great question there with the corporations is it really worth it?
Right.
Is it really worth it for you to lose not just billions, but your entire company over this stupid woke agenda?
Yep.
How does that even benefit you if you lose everything?
Right.
Right. You know, and so, you know, how would they even enjoy the fruits of their participation if they have no money to buy anything anymore? They just tanked.
They must have something else on them, because there's no way that they can all believe in this. Well, the World Economic Forum planted board members on these companies.
Right.
They're on mission, right? Oh, yeah. But how can you get the rest of the board to agree to something like this?
Right.
What do you do? We're going to pull your funding. We're going to do, well, you're already tanking us by billions, you know.
Right.
They must have something else on them, like the video of them going to Epstein Island or, you know, who knows what.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're not kidding. And as we're finding out, you know, it's shocking how many people are involved in that kind of dark, awful,
it's staggering
garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. In fact, there was just this last weekend, the ex-aide for Governor Christie was caught with forcing a young girl into sex, and he was he's a 41-year-old man, and so he's being prosecuted as we speak.
Good.
And so exactly, And so, you know, that's another opportunity to, yep, to remind people to, hey, we've got the bill. We've got the bill. You want to see all this stuff, this awful, horrific child trafficking stopped. Just take copies of that bill and the intro letter and make it's lots
radio,
of copies.
It's on Radio Free Redoubt.
Send them to everybody. Everybody that actually is effective or tends to be effective in Congress and the U.S. Senate. And even if not them, send them to other people that have influence over those people.
Exactly.
And just don't stop, because that is, again, the checkmate bill, because it eliminates the electronic voting machines.
That's right.
And it stops all of the child trafficking.
Well, there you have it. It's good stuff. Once again, that's at radiofreeredoubt.com. You'll find that letter and the bill, the Stop Child Trafficking bill. You can print out, customize it, put your own information in there, and mail it off certified.
That's right. In fact, you know, as we're talking about here, action items.
There
right?
you go.
Right. You want to do something, whatever you can do. You can afford $4.32. I guarantee it. And if that's the majority of the action you've taken in the past 3 years, call it good. You know,
if you haven't done anything else, do that.
At least do that. That's right.
All right. Well, we're out of time for this evening, but thanks for that update and the reminder about that child trafficking bill, and great discussion.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. So thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here.
All right. Well, Patriots, it's Labor Day weekend. A lot of you guys are going to be packing up tomorrow morning to start heading back home from the campsite or from the lake. You just be safe out there, and you have a blessed week. Join us 7 a.m. Pacific each weekday morning for the morning commute. Then get your day started off right. And otherwise, be right here next week at 7 p.m. Pacific. Oh, I mean 8 p.m. Pacific. And let you go. All right, this is the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.